Social Justice Fallacies, Thomas Sowell, Basic Books, 2023, 224 pages, 130 summarized. A Brief Book Summary from Books at a Glance, by Benjamin J. Montoya, Ph.D. About the author. Thomas Sowell is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University. For more than half a century, his writings have appeared in both popular and scholarly publications on both sides of the Atlantic, and his books have been translated into a dozen foreign languages. After a career as an economist in the government, academia, and the corporate world, he has since 1980 been a scholar in residence at the Hoover Institution, devoting his efforts to research and writing on subjects ranging from the history and influence of intellectuals to education and social policies in countries around the world. His website is www.tsowell.com. Introduction. As is often the case, popular societal movements find themselves making all kinds of arguments to promote their cause. But what happens when those arguments are tested and questioned? Enter Thomas Sowell. Here at Books at a Glance, we have featured several of his books wherein Sowell does just that, and this book is no different. With this book, he rightly identifies and explains the fallacies that accompany the social justice movement. Table of Contents. Chapter 1, Equal Chances Fallacies. Chapter 2, Racial Fallacies. Chapter 3, Chess Pieces Fallacies. Chapter 4, Knowledge Fallacies. Chapter 5, Words, Deeds, and Dangers. Summary. Chapter 1, Equal Chances Fallacies. Among the many fallacies that the social justice movement repeats without ever substantiating is the fallacy that if everyone had equal chances, then we would have equal outcomes. That is, the limitation of access is the key problem in disparate outcomes. Although this statement is often repeated, it is a fallacious statement that has neither been tested empirically nor stands up to any kind of test. There are inequalities among people as individuals and as groups. As individuals, some are more intelligent than others. Some of that has to do with how their mothers took care of their bodies during pregnancy. Some groups are historically better at some things than others. Example, Asians are not overly represented in the NBA, for example. Some of the people who are best at brewing beer are those from German descent. Some entire people groups have been historically better off because of their geographical locations and their economic structures, or lack thereof. All these examples are to highlight that the fallacy that equal chance is the real issue. It never was, and it never will be. Some people are better at some things than others for a wide variety of reasons, and access or equal chances will never change that. And it is highly doubtful someone would want that to be changed. For example, would someone really want an airline pilot chosen for demographic representation of various groups, or those that were chosen due to their level of mastery of all of their related tasks? Chapter 2, Racial Fallacies. Racial fallacies remain as popular in the social justice movement continues to make assertions regarding race with no evidence. For example, it is claimed that there is an inherent racism tied to African Americans in a way that is known to no other race because of the history of racism and slavery. What this kind of assertion fails to recognize is the historical evidence to the contrary. It is so thought that during economic downturns that African Americans are more likely to be laid off than anyone else, but as the statistics show, whites too are likely to be laid off even more so than Asians are. It is overly simplistic to claim it is just a matter of African Americans. Similarly, it is claimed that mortgage applications are denied at a higher rate for African American clients over whites or anyone else. What this kind of blanket assertion fails to recognize is that when someone's loan application is denied, the people who deny or approve, the underwriters, usually are just looking at credit scores, debts, and incomes. If it gets denied for anyone, there are reasons beyond race. The origin of these racial fallacies comes from progressivism. Those ideals used to fuel the likes of Hitler even, and they were largely race-driven. But these ideals have passed and developed into later progressivism that focuses on people's genes, arguing that that is why there are disparate outcomes. These ideas, too, have been debunked as actual statistics regarding layoffs, loan applications, IQ, and even classroom discipline shows that these matters affect each racial group differently, with whites still receiving more classroom discipline than Asians. So, it is not enough just to make a blanket assertion regarding race without evidence to demonstrate a claim. But this area remains a large one for the social justice movement, given that this single area has been a major springboard for that movement. Chapter 3, Chess Pieces Fallacies. The social justice movement likes to employ chess piece fallacies that they move along the chessboard of our society without ever making sure they have a stable base to support them. Very much unlike pieces on an actual chessboard, the first of that is redistribution of wealth. That is, the government is supposedly responsible for redistributing the wealth from the rich to everyone else to make things fairer. So how does that happen? Well, the historical method is to tax the rich more. What has not happened because of that is what advocates of the social justice movement had hoped. Instead, the so-called rich have become richer as they have found ways around the higher taxation. One of the many problems with this fallacy is that raising tax rates does not mean there will be an increase in tax revenues. Other chess pieces include wage and price control. That is, people who argue for a fair and livable minimum wage have forced these requirements on employers. Because of that, employers continue to find ways around hiring people for these kinds of roles. Furthermore, trying to enact price control has only resulted in temporary artificial lowering until other political goals are met, like one party taking office and then the actual price would come back. A lot of the problems that the social justice movement faces is tied to how they avoid defining terms, including basic terms like rich and poor. These kinds of terms require definition and comparison. Someone is rich in comparison to someone who is poor, but what income numbers are being used? And if someone who is poor is making $75,000 per year, then compared to other countries where people have truer levels of poverty, this income level can appear to be very rich. At the end of the day, a lot of these fallacious arguments can be pushed aside if people pay attention to what they are claiming, if they have evidence to support it, and if the statistics they try to use actually support what they are saying. Statistics can be enormously valuable for testing our beliefs against empirical evidence, but that requires careful attention to specific data and the words that accompany those data. Chapter 4, Knowledge Fallacies. Knowledge fallacies crop up when those in the social justice movement claim that there should be a group of elite decision makers in the society who organize society and make consequential decisions for everyone in society. Consequential decisions are those kinds of choices that are made that affect a larger group. For example, the captains of the Titanic had to make consequential decisions that impacted the lives of those on the ship. For our society, how will someone decide who belongs in that group? That is a very difficult decision to make, and even for how to decide how to make that decision. Similarly, another larger foundational fallacy is that there are conflicting visions of what goals would be achieved, how to organize people, etc. Most political and ideological groups are not monolithic. In fact, even within one supposed camp, there is usually a spectrum of views within that same group. So then who is equipped to make those larger macro-level decisions? That is a question that is difficult to answer. Some may say the most intelligent should fall into that group, but how will that intelligence be gauged? Furthermore, just considering the issue of how to organize people presents other levels of complexities. People tend to organize themselves in various ways for various reasons, and deciding that for others would prove likely impossible. History has shown that making decisions regarding housing, planning, parenthood, and even the decisions of justices on the Supreme Court have proven themselves to be fraught with problems, especially when there are no real consequences for mistakes, for people who are supposed to have some level of knowledge and intelligence that gives them the power to rule. Some of the underlying problems in these knowledge fallacies are several and remain entwined. So many within the camp of a fallacious certitude about everything they say, such that merely saying what they think is enough justification without any support. There is a fatal danger of people suppressing anything position they disagree with. We live in a society with free speech, but for some people that freedom is only present if people express things that they agree with. There is the old fallacy of the expert, that is that someone with expertise in one area is capable of making broad decisions and rulings on anything else. They may know nothing about the other thing just because they know a lot about the other issue. There is also the lesson from history that sometimes highly intelligent people can create even bigger problems. Stupid people can create problems, and is enough in enough different ways for us to reconsider before joining their latest stampedes, led by self-congratulatory elites, deaf to argument and immune to evidence. Chapter 5, Words, Deeds, and Dangers. The final area where many of these fallacies come together is in the words, deeds, and subsequent dangers that arise from the social justice movement. There is no unified vision about what any of their assertions mean, how they define their terms, or how they will accomplish what they will want to do. These are serious foundational problems, no doubt. One of the core underlying problems underneath the vision of the social justice movement is that no one possesses enough consequential knowledge to make the kinds of macro-level decisions for which that this movement calls. Does that mean people should do nothing to try to address problems in society? Of course not, but it does not give us an appropriate level of historical humility to understand our finitude. Major disparities exist between what the social justice movement claims will happen when one of their goals is not achieved versus what actually happens. For example, they claim wealth redistribution is key to the society, but what they do not want to highlight is the standard of living for the poor Americans has risen because of the rich getting richer. That is, sure, their wealth is increasing, but it increases in tandem with societal progress in toto. So wealth redistribution may not, in fact, be the solution the social justice movement thought it was. There is no attention given to these counterfactuals, like when poor people find ways to pull themselves out of their poverty. It is just assumed that society needs to step in. Is that because of a concern for the poor or because of their desire to rule and run society? It is important to consider these angles when these key examples are overlooked. Racism continues to be a major word used in this movement, although likely no one would want to argue that racism is a good thing. It will be very difficult to eradicate it entirely from society or much less the world at large, but how someone accomplishes that is another task altogether. Actions such as affirmative action have not accomplished such a goal. Instead, what that has done is put less qualified people in positions and schools than where they were able to thrive. Finally, it remains important for us to get our facts straight, not just repeating the same assertions and words as if they will make them truer or more sound by doing so. Instead, we must examine what is being said and what we have learned from history. As Paul Johnson, the distinguished British historian, has written, "It is humbling to discover how many of our glib assumptions, which seem to us novel and plausible, have been tested before, not once but many times, and in innumerable guises, and discovered to be, at great human cost, wholly false." Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.